In today's digital landscape, pornography has become more accessible than ever before. What once required significant effort, distracting shopkeepers or finding hidden magazines, now takes just two or three clicks on devices we carry everywhere. This digital revolution has fundamentally transformed human sexuality, particularly for young men whose first exposure to sexual content occurs at increasingly younger ages, often before they possess the emotional maturity to process it. The algorithms of porn websites continuously push users toward more extreme content, creating an escalating cycle of consumption that rewires neural pathways, affecting motivation, reward systems, and impulse control. Being a godly man today is harder than ever as we navigate a culture saturated with sexual imagery. If you're like most young men, you've likely already given in to temptation, finding sex increasingly dominating your thoughts and affecting your relationships and spiritual well-being. Despite these challenges, freedom is possible through a comprehensive detoxification process that resets normal thought patterns, reverses corruption of the mind, and restores psychological and spiritual health. This process isn't easy or quick, often involving withdrawal symptoms and temporary discomfort, but seeing the destructiveness of your current path is essential for lasting change. Pornography is a monster in disguise, inherently mocking, violent, and progressive. It mocks God's intentions for sex by replacing spousal unity with fulfillment of perceived needs with any partner. While God designed sexual desire to be controlled and directed toward one spouse, pornography teaches it should be uncontrolled and directed toward anyone attractive. Pornography commits violence against human dignity by reducing people to objects for consumption. It strips love from sex, reducing it to base gratification without emotional connection. Studies consistently show exposure correlates with increased acceptance of rape myths and decreased empathy towards sexual assault victims. Most critically, pornography is progressive. Like all addictive behaviors, it's never satisfied. What once satisfied becomes boring. What once disgusted becomes desirable. Without intervention, this corruption gradually reshapes perception of sex from simple intimacy to increasingly degrading acts, ultimately crippling marriages, destroying healthy relationships, or leading to psychological bondage. Many single men mistakenly believe marriage will cure their pornography addiction. This flawed thinking has led many unprepared men into marriages, some even rushing into matrimony, partly motivated by this false hope. While marriage may temporarily suppress porn use through sexual fulfillment, the underlying issue often remains dormant, waiting for opportunity. These moments inevitably come during business trips, periods of stress, after childbirth, or during normal marital conflicts. The "marriage fixes everything" mentality misunderstands both addiction and marital intimacy. Pornography embeds itself like an invasive seed, growing roots that crowd out genuine relationships. It trains users in self-gratification rather than mutual giving. Many married men discover their porn use has conditioned them to view their wives through a pornographic lens, reducing them to body parts rather than whole persons, seeking titillation instead of connection. Some contemporary Christian writers frame masturbation as morally ambiguous, potentially acceptable under certain circumstances, while problematic in others. They've developed ethical frameworks, including the thought test, examining fantasies, the self-control test, evaluating frequency, and the love test, considering impact on marital intimacy. These ethical tests face significant biblical challenges. For married men, sexual fantasy is legitimately limited to their wives, making appropriate mental boundaries during masturbation nearly impossible to maintain. The argument that sin must become obsessive before becoming problematic contradicts Scripture's teaching that both patterns and individual instances of sin violate God's holiness. While Scripture doesn't explicitly name masturbation, it provides comprehensive teaching about sexuality and sinful lust. Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5:28 about mental adultery would have been understood by his male audience to include masturbation, as the connection between lustful thoughts and this behavior would have been self-evident. Masturbation sinfulness stems from violating God's design for sexuality as an inherently relational experience centered on mutual self-giving between husband and wife. Instead, it reduces sexuality to a self-focused, isolated activity that tends to increase emotional distance even within marriage. When God created humanity, He designed them male and female, with marriage and sexual intimacy as very good gifts. God made sex not merely functional, but almost transcendent in pleasure. At its best, sex surpasses most other pleasures in joy, freedom, and vulnerability, drawing husband and wife together in a unique way. While sex serves the biological purpose of procreation, God designed sexual appetite to far exceed this necessity. Unlike hunger, which only slightly exceeds our need for food, sexual desire greatly surpasses what's needed for reproduction. This suggests God intends sex for more than creating children. He wants married couples to enjoy it frequently. Scripture's only limitation on frequency appears in 1 Corinthians 7:5, allowing only brief, specific pauses. Before the fall, Adam and Eve enjoyed perfect sex because Adam always prioritized Eve's needs. After sin entered, sex became a struggle. Now, this special means of grace often causes the greatest strife between spouses. God-honoring sex stands in stark contrast to pornographic depictions. It's tender rather than violent, sweet rather than degrading, selfless rather than self-centered, and respects boundaries. Stop looking at pornography and stop masturbating immediately. While occasional failures aren't the end of the world, the necessity of trying cannot be overstated. Ignoring sexual temptation won't work. Like hiding a dead body, the sin will eventually reveal itself. Instead, believers must daily kill sin and replace lies with truth through God's Word. Four scripture passages can become foundational to your understanding of sex. Genesis 26:8 depicts playful, flirtatious love worth protecting. 1 Peter 3:7 shows how sexual sin devastates your entire family. Proverbs 5:18-19 celebrates both the gift of sex and its exclusivity. And 1 Timothy 5:1-2 commands treating younger women as sisters in all purity. An underused secret weapon for overcoming pornography is talking to your pastor. Despite being a common struggle, many neglect seeking help from those gifted to shepherd God's flock. There is barely a pastor in America who is not helping someone fight against pornography. Set aside pride and shame. Pastors will empathize and help. God's way of escape isn't avoiding trials, but receiving divine strength to endure them. This escape comes from God, not our improvised solutions, which typically create more problems. The Lord designs both the trial and the path through it, guiding His people completely through their wilderness experiences. Sexual detox involves replacing corrupt desires with God's design for sexuality, rewiring thought patterns, establishing new habits, and building healthy relationships. This process requires patience, as neural pathways formed through years of addiction need time to reform. The journey includes setbacks and intense struggles, but freedom is possible because God's grace exceeds any addiction. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, capable of transforming your desires at their root. This transformation requires community support, accountability, and often professional counseling along spiritual disciplines. Your sexuality can be reclaimed. The question isn't whether God can restore you, it's whether you're ready to begin the journey toward His promised freedom.